Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse number 13. We'll begin reading there. If you mark in your Bibles, you'll see that I used this scripture sometime back in another message, but I'm approaching it differently tonight. But I pray that God will seal it to our hearts and help us. We're going into baptismal service, so we're going to try to let God help us tonight as we look at this together. Stand with me, please, while we read the Word of God. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And by the way, Jesus came many miles to get there to be baptized of John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And can you imagine how John the Baptist fell? Here come the Son of God, and to be baptized of him. Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, for the singing of the choir, the youth choir. Thank you tonight, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God and for the sweet spirit that does prevail. And thank you, Lord, we can come together and worship tonight. I give you praise and glory and thanks. And surely, Lord, that we'll never be through thanking you and praising you for what you have done for us. And we thank you tonight. And then I think of those who will be following you in baptism tonight. I thank you for them. And Lord, that you loved them and saved them by your marvelous grace, birthed them in the family of God. Then there may be those here tonight that know not Jesus. I pray tonight be the night the Holy Spirit bring real conviction, draw them by your power. I pray they'd come to a place they'd want to be saved and born into the family of God. Then Lord, help those who may be cold and indifferent. Maybe that joy's not there. I pray you deal with their hearts, and they tonight would cry out to restore the joy. And we'll praise you and thank you. Then, Father, challenge our hearts. Then some discouraged, I pray you'd encourage and strengthen tonight. Lord, as we come together, we're reminded of the price that was paid. And I pray in Jesus' name, you help us to preach. We realize we need you. I plead the blood of Jesus, asking God to rebuke the devil, powers of evil. And we'll praise your name now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. As we look tonight at the scripture and thinking about it, I want to call your attention to verse number 15. As John was having a problem about baptizing Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And baptism tonight, if I titled it, I'd title it like it. Baptism is becoming. It is becoming. Strong says that word becometh means to be suited for or proper. It's suited. We use the word sometime when we think about somebody and how they're dressed. And we'll say it becoming to them. It means it suits them. They're the way they carry themselves and who the personality or their features. It's suitable. And so it suits them. And it's proper for them. And we talk about other things being becoming, and we mean it's proper or right. It suits the situation. Let me say tonight, for those who come to know Jesus Christ, it certainly is suitable for them to be saved. Well, I said saved, that's right. No, he said it's saved. It's suitable for them to be baptized because they are saved. It is suited for them, and it is proper for them. It's a right thing for them. And I'm glad tonight to be a part of a baptismal service. I thank God for that. Amen. I rejoice every time we get in the water, every time we get ready to baptize somebody. I get excited about it because we're absolutely doing what God said to do. And I may be running ahead of myself in my preaching, but I just love baptismal services. I love the time we come together and know somebody has gotten saved, somebody has given their heart to Jesus, and somebody is obeying what the Lord said. Now, let me try to get into the message, and I'll be as brief as God will let me be tonight in the message, but I thank God for the privilege we have tonight to do that is becoming. It is becoming, and baptism is becoming. So tonight, I pray that God will help us preach in doing this. Jesus has come to John now, be baptized of him. And the question's asked many times about why did Jesus want to be baptized? We'll answer that as we go tonight also. And these who are being baptized, we'll say something about them. But first of all, let me say he was endorsing the ministry of John the Baptist. He's putting his approval upon it. And fact is, he said it's becoming for him to do this because it's the right thing, proper thing for what he was doing. And John the Baptist was out there baptizing those. And I want you to look in chapter 3 of Matthew I just read, but look in verse number 1. I want you to see John's preaching. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. By the way, he wasn't putting on a seminar. He wasn't telling them we're going to have a meeting, sit down and talk about this. He was preaching to them. Amen. And I love preaching, not because I'm a preacher. That's part of it, I guess, but I just love preaching. Y'all love what you're doing, so I say that's a part of it. But I love preaching before God ever called me to preach. And I thank God for preaching. That's what got me under conviction, the Holy Ghost taking preaching and got me under conviction that I saw my need of a Savior. And it's what God said he chose by the foolishness of preaching, save them that believe. And I thank God for it. And now notice in number 2, his purpose. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And his purpose was to tell them to repent. And tonight, there's no salvation, there's no repentance. Somebody said, well, you don't have to repent to be saved. You don't have to take Jesus to be the Lord to be saved, all that kind of stuff. I say, junk all of that and just remember what God said. He said, repent and be baptized. You remember those that came on the day of Pentecost and they got saved and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so repentance is a part of it. And the Lordship of Christ, let me just say this, ain't never been anybody ever truly got saved that did not submit that Jesus Christ was Lord. Amen. If you came to an altar or anywhere else and bowed and said, now, Lord, I want you to save me, but I don't want to live for you. I don't want you to rule my life. I don't want you to take charge of my life. You never got saved to start with. Ain't never been a person got saved that we're not saying. They may have not known it in their mouth. They may not have been saying the very words, but in their heart, they were saying, you're Lord and I'm a sinner and I'm coming to you and I want you to be Lord of my life and submitted themselves. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was just asking God to save me and I was submitting myself to his authority and anything that he wanted, I was saying amen to it. Amen. I praise God for the privilege we had to be saved and to know Jesus Christ as Lord. I thought I'd just plug that in them, but anyway, there's a whole lot of folk don't believe that, but I'm not saying in this church, but I don't know. I hope there's not anybody visiting. Well, if you do, I hope I can help you tonight because if you ever get saved, Jesus is Lord of your life. You may not let him lead you in everything that you do. You may rebel against that. But when you got saved, you took him as Lord and Savior. Amen. He didn't come in. You don't get saved like going down to a steakhouse and pick out what you want. I want this part, but I don't want that part. I want him to save me and keep me out of hell. I want to maybe go to Sunday school and preaching and once a week and that kind of thing. But I really don't want him to rule my life. Well, that's not how it is. If you ever come to God, you come totally to God and ask God now. I said you may rebel later about that, but you come that way if you ever did really get saved. Amen. That's good preaching even when I'm doing. And so you got preaching in verse 1. You got the purpose in verse 2. But now I want you to look here. The preaching verse 1 and 2, and the purpose of verse 3, for this is he that, the purpose part of it is in verse 2, repent, that was part of the message, just ties together, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying and will prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He was fulfilling prophecy, doing what God called him to do, doing preaching and talking about Jesus coming. But notice verse number 4, here's his provision. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, he wasn't driving a Cadillac, he wasn't wearing a bright suit, and he wasn't doing all these other kind of things. Fact is, he looked kind of rough coming out of that, and been eating wild honey. I can see John coming out now preaching, wiping honey off his mouth, and dripping, eating locusts. I mean, eating bugs. Amen, and coming out and preaching. He wasn't telling you, now you get saved and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and you get saved and God's going to give you all this and all that. No, he's telling them how to get to heaven. He's telling them repent. He's telling them Jesus is coming and Jesus is the way. And so he's doing that. And I praise God. Anyway, came endorsing that. But tonight when we baptize, tonight, we're endorsing the fact that people have repented and believe that repentance is a part of their salvation, and they have trusted Jesus as their Savior and the Lord, and they are doing that, and we are endorsing the church and endorsing the ordinance of baptism. Hey, listen, I don't believe anybody ought to get saved and not belong to a good local church, Baptist church. Throw that in while I'm at it. And I believe they all belong to one that believes the word of God. Amen. And believe what God says and be a part of that. You say, and when somebody baptized, you don't baptize them, just turn them loose and say, well, now you just go do the best you can. Have you ever seen a family that have a baby born in their family in the hospital and they carry it home, and instead of taking it in the house, they lay it out in the porch, or they take it out and lay it in the road, or lay it out in the yard? You ever seen anybody do that with a baby? Well, I know they take that baby, take it in the house, and they feed it and take care of it. That's exactly how it'll be done when you get saved and get baptized. You join the local church. Amen. I'm a local church man. I believe in the local church. Amen. I believe in the visible church on this earth that we're a part of. And I say hallelujah and praise God for that. Rejoice in it and thank God for the reality of it. So here they are. And they're endorsing that tonight when they're baptized. But let's move on and think about something else here. As Jesus comes to John to be baptized of him, he's also identifying himself. Look in verse number 14, if you would. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? What John was saying was, I'm the sinner, not you. And I ought to be coming to you. And Jesus then turned it around and said, I want you to suffer to be so, because it becometh, it's the right thing. It's suited for me. Because what he was saying is, I'm going to identify with sinners. Jesus did not do any sin. He had no guile about it in his mouth. There's no sin about him. He never thought a wrong thought. He never did a wrong deed. He never left anything undone he's supposed to do. He always pleased the Father. But when he was baptized, he wasn't being baptized because he got saved. He'd been baptized because he was identified with sinners and showing them which way to go. And he, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, God hath made Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus, when he was put on the cross of Calvary, he was made my sin and your sin. And he took our place and paid our sin debt. He identified himself when God became man. And Jesus said one time, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he identified with man. He identified with mankind, but he identified with sinners and took their place and paid their price. And so he come to John for baptism in that identification. Tonight, when we baptize these folk, they're identifying too. They're identifying with the fact that they are sinners, because baptism is for those who have been saved and baptized. I remember what Brother Nathan said the other night when he joined the church and came for baptism. He said, I've been saved. I've been back yonder. I made a profession. I got ducked under the water, but I've never really been scripturally baptized since I got saved. Let me say tonight, you've never been baptized unless you got baptized after you got saved. No, a lot of folk got dipped under the water before they ever got saved. That's not baptism. If you go in unsaved, you'll come out unsaved. Amen. Baptism does not save you, regardless of what some may teach today. There's no salvation in the tub. It's in the blood. Amen. So praise God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I might take off on that for a minute. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, it's real to know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this water baptism is important. It's a good place, but it doesn't save you by any means of the stretch of the imagination. And so tonight, but if you ever got saved, I've heard people say, I got saved, but I was baptized a long time ago. Well, no, you wasn't. You don't get baptized until you're not even a candidate. You say, well, that preacher took me in and he didn't. He ducked you under the water. There's a vast difference. A preacher don't make you get baptized. He's simply an instrument that God uses so you can be baptized, and you're not even a candidate in God's eyes. And God looks on it and says, there's a sinner going in the water, going in dry, coming out wet. But when a saved person goes in, I believe the Lord looks down and smiles, says, there's an obedient servant of mine. There's one that got saved, wants to identify with my salvation, wants to identify as a sinner, been saved by the grace of God, and identifying with Jesus and being buried, as it were, with him and raised walking in newness of life. By the way, that just leads me to the third point, the picture. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight is a wonderful picture God gives us in that? When we take the Lord's Supper, we picture the blood that was shed, and we picture the body that was broken. In baptism, we picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now tonight, as we baptize these folk that are going to be baptized, we're picturing that they have trusted the one that died for them, buried and rose again. They believe that. They believe that Jesus died for them, buried for them, raised again for them, but we're picturing something else. They're picturing that that they have died out to self, to sin. They're being buried with Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. I say hallelujah. Has a change been made in me? These preachers that can sing and preach too get on my nerves. Because I want to sing right now, and I can't do it. And I'd sing that song that says there's been a change in me. Amen. Hey, you know that song? Amen. Well, you young fellas, some of these young whippersnappers, they don't know these good songs. No, I'm kidding. But ain't been a change. The song says, they've been a change in me. And they certainly has been a change made, Chris. You know what I'm talking about. They've been a change made in me. And if you ever, hey, if you ever been saved, there's been a change made in you. Amen. Aren't you glad God changed you one day? Made you a new creature. Sister McIntosh, she knows what I'm talking about. She's a waving at me. Hallelujah. She sicks me on every once in a while. I'm saying, praise God, my Lamb forever. There's been a change made in me. And her life is a long time ago. My life a long time ago. But thank God there's been a change made. And I praise God when these people get saved, whether it's a child or a young adult or an older adult, but when they get saved, I say, hallelujah. I children come, and sometimes I was talking to a dad the other day about one of the children going to be baptized. I said, you know her better than I do, and you can probably talk to her and know more about that. They know about how to be saved, how, what to do, what to say, and dealing with that, we try to deal with that. But I want you to know it takes the same grace of God, the same blood of Jesus, to save a child as it does an adult. It takes the same power, convicting power, to bring them to Jesus as it does an older person. I was preaching a tent meeting up in West Virginia, and years ago, and it was a little old tent, and wasn't much to it, but we were preaching up there, having a good time. And one night, this older lady came down, and she got saved. Some other folk had gotten saved that night. But she stood and testified, I'll never forget it. She said, I'm 86 years old, and this is the happiest day of my life. I say, hallelujah. 86 years old, and she got saved and born in the family of God. I praise God. I count on my fingers how many in the 70s and 80s got saved in my ministry. I tell you, the older you get, the harder it is to reach them for Christ. But there's a few. Thank God there's a few get in. I want you to know tonight, if you're 80 or 90 or 100, you can get saved tonight. God speaks to your heart. God deals with your life. Show you your law. Come to Jesus and get saved. But let me say, on the other hand, if you're a youngster and just a young person, you can be saved tonight. You can come to Christ and be born in the family of God. And this, I said today, this morning, I said, today's the day, now's the time. You can come and be saved and thank God for that. Let me say, it's an act of humility. Christ come. If ever, Christ was humble man. And he was a man. He took a cord, drove the mouth, money changers out, turned over money table. I don't believe Jesus saying, now, y'all excuse me while I turn this table over. I don't believe that was the way he did it. I think Jesus went in and said, don't need to do that, you hypocrites. Amen. And he said, but you said he's humble. He was humble. But he also was strong against sin. Strong against that was wrong. And humility. Proverbs chapter 6. And you'll find talking about these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. The first one he mentioned is a proud look. God hates pride, and he despises that. But he also, that's the very opposite of pride is humility. And so some when he went in to John the Baptist to be baptized, he was humbling himself and going to be ducked under the water. Bible says he come up straightway out of the water. By the way, didn't him take a little bit and put it on top of his head? One preacher preaching one church and said, I didn't realize it, but I drunk the baptistry that night. And the cup sitting there. Well, he don't even have my cup up here tonight. Anyway, he said, thank you, sir. It's hard to get good deacons to do anything. I'm kidding. I looked in there, I saw it sitting there. I knew it was there. Started to bug him a while ago, but decided not to. But it's a good illustration because I got water now, amen. But being baptized, it's not no pride in that. You think about it. You're going to go in some water, and somebody's going to take you and put you under the water. You're going to have you come up all wet, and, you know, just look like a drowned rat. They no pride in that, but glory to God, they some joy. Amen. They some joy. Let me get to the fifth thing and I close. It's submission to obedience to God. Jesus said it's becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness. He's saying, I'm submitting myself to the will of the Father. The Father, when he got through, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to know he was submitting himself to the authority. Now, he was God in flesh, but as a son, he was submitting himself to that authority of God. These that are being baptized tonight, they're submitting themselves to authority. God said to go ye in all the world, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them. So we're obeying and baptizing, and then they're obeying because it said repent and be baptized, and so they're following the Lord. There's a whole lot of submission going on tonight. In the baptismal service, they're submitting to the authority of this blessed book right here to be baptized. And baptized scripturally is to be, and the word baptized, by the way, comes from the Greek word. It's not interpreted, it's just transliterated into the English language. Baptismo, it's called baptism in the English, just brought it on over in it. And because they talked about it in that day when there was dyeing cloth, they would baptismo it. Now, what did that mean? They took it all the way up. You don't dye cloth with sprinkling something on it, dye on it, or pouring it on, trying to get it all be consistent. They run it through all the way under. Hallelujah. When you baptize, it's a picture of being buried. You don't sprinkle a little bit on their head. This one fellow, preacher didn't believe in baptism like we do. And he told his son, he said, you bury that chicken. Died, said, before I get home tonight. He went off and come back in. Chicken had a little dirt on his head. He said, I thought I told you to bury that chicken. He said, well, I've heard you say a little bit on the head's as good as putting them under. I believe we need to put them under all the way, all the way. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Preacher, do you really believe that being baptized is scriptural? I do. Do you really believe it's necessary? I do. Not to get to heaven, but I believe it's necessary to obey God, if at all possible, that the person be baptized. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege tonight that we have in this service to come together for a baptismal service. But Lord, as we look at Jesus being baptized and his submission, his humility, what it pictures, how he died for us, how he shed his blood and rose from the dead. And Father, how that people have been saved, raised, and they're going to tonight live a new life for the glory of God. They've already started on that life's journey. Now tonight they're picturing it and they're obeying, submitting. I pray you make it meaningful to everybody here. May every heart be touched, every life be challenged. Father, in this invitation right now, help those who are not saved to see they need to be saved. We'll thank you. Then those that need to come, maybe cry for the joy to be restored. Whatever the need is in their life, I pray they'll come in Jesus' name. Amen.